Welcome, everyone. I'm Holly Bott, and this is From Surviving to Living, the podcast where raw stories of transformation are told. This is not just a podcast. It's the power of change. God is interested in you. My story is not fiction. I'm a woman, a felon, a sex offender. I did hard time. I am so awed by Jesus, I will risk my reputation and talk about it. He transformed me. He will do that for you. I trust him. I hope you do too. Are you hurting? Are you sick of just surviving? I was too. How does one really, truly live? God causes transformation. It is possible for everyone. Thank God. I never saw it coming. Let me tell you how it happens. Get ready for your adventure of faith and life beyond bars. This is From Surviving to Living. Before the confines of prison, I had an ordinary life, family, dreams. Before 2010, everything seemed on track. Life has a way of surprising us, doesn't it? Before 2010, I didn't see the tragic detour ahead, a journey that would challenge every belief, every idea of self. Then came the pivotal moment, the moment that shattered the illusion of a predictable future. Prison, often seen as the end, became the canvas for a new life. Prison doesn't change lives. God changes people, even in prison. Join me as we unravel life before 2010, peeking at moments that lead to a profound transformation. This is just the beginning of one story that defies expectations and embraces the power of change. This is before. Prison didn't change my life. Earthly things don't change us into heavenly creatures. Salvation is a gift from God. It just so happens I was in prison when that happened for me. Before my arrest at age 35 in 2010, I never thought about prison, jail, or the criminal justice system. Everything I thought I knew, I learned on TV. And I really enjoyed news and drama programs, which did me no good at all. To my knowledge, I had no friends who'd been in jail. I had no idea what to expect if I was arrested and sent to jail. Have you found yourself in an unfamiliar situation, uncertain of what to expect, anxious for the future? I'm inspired to share my story with you because I want to point you to Jesus and your own personal relationship with Him. He is so, so good. I also want to encourage you in whatever circumstances you are in today. My life before prison was ordinary. Does that describe your life? Would you like more? You are in the right place. I've always been a competitive person, often an overachiever. As a young person, I was also insecure and I acted out during my teen years. I often felt angry and unloved. These feelings would deepen into rage and depression as I grew older. Growing up, my parents took me and my brother to church several times a week. We were also sent to a Christian day school. I accepted Jesus as my Savior at a young age and was baptized at our church. I wanted to be a good girl, and I embraced what I was learning. It wasn't praise I received, however, for my efforts. I received apathy and occasional accusation. I grew to hate my own mother, feeling rejected, and I ran away from home for a short time at age 17. I could not bear returning to a place where I felt misunderstood and mischaracterized. Frequent tongue lashings instead of loving conversations had left me wrung out and ready to find love and approval elsewhere. Just before my 19th birthday, I impulsively married a man I had dated in high school, even though we were no longer dating. On a whim, we drove to Las Vegas with some friends and got married. This would be the first of many choices I would regret, while not understanding my motivations. Not for the first time, I was asked, "What were you thinking? Why did you do that?" It wouldn't be the last time. Have you ever done something you don't understand? Do you have regrets? Romans 7:15 says, "For I do not understand my own actions. I am baffled, bewildered. I do not practice or accomplish what I wish, but I do the very thing that I loathe, which my moral instinct condemns." I became pregnant with our first son soon after our wedding. Within a month or two, my husband began cheating on me, and a year later, we were separated. I was eager to prove myself after this disaster. I felt shame as a single mom, a divorced woman in her early 20s. I lacked a personal relationship with Jesus, however, at the time. I had accepted him as my savior, but he wasn't Lord of my life. I was not rebellious, I simply didn't understand the concept. At age 23, I remarried. I had believed my first husband shared my religious convictions, and I felt certain my new husband did as well. In order to determine this, I had considered his family, whose religious convictions were similar, and used this to inform me. My second husband also lacked a personal relationship with Jesus. I had heard the phrase personal relationship with Jesus before, although it wasn't stressed nor explained at the church I grew up in. Salvation was their talking point, which they believed they had narrowed to a formula called the sinner's prayer. What should be expected afterward was not described, other than heaven upon death, which was also not further described. But teaching was of high importance at this church. I'd prayed the salvation prayer many times throughout my formative years, feeling no different than before. I was left wondering if I'd prayed sincerely enough. Convinced I couldn't be more earnest, and having been led to believe this prayer was all one needed, I came to view my experience as how it should be if one were saved and a good Christian. Because of the teaching at my church, I became arrogant and proud of my belief system, my religion, while at the same time losing interest in going to church as an adult. My second husband and I had four more children. I became a stay-at-home mom, and soon I was looking for ways to be a work-at-home mom as well. I began developing my artistic talents, and soon my artwork was installed at a local gallery. I began selling my paintings online as I looked for additional ways to be productive. I would soon use these skills to become an award-winning blogger and IT director of a large nonprofit. In 2005, we lived in a small town. A talk radio station mentioned a local soldier had been injured in Iraq and was recovering at the VA hospital. His family was encouraging everyone to come and visit. All were welcome. I am an introvert. I am also a patriot. I absolutely wanted to go. I took it with faith that this was a true invitation to visit. The next day, my husband came home early from work. I relayed the news from the radio station and asked his thoughts. He said he'd watch the kids and encouraged me to go visit. I drove an hour into the city and visited this wounded soldier. More of that story can be read in my first book. The immediate result is that while visiting, I learned this soldier was receiving many visitors, and the soldiers in the neighboring hospital rooms were from other states altogether, where many of their families could not afford to visit them at all. I decided to return as often as I could. I was surprised how easy it was to encourage these wounded soldiers. I thought others would want to do that too, if they knew how. I began a blog and started writing my first book, From Here to There, is a compilation of its popular posts. That blog became nominated for awards like the Bloggies and won an award for the best U.S. civilian military blog. This is the exciting and fun part of my before story. Soon I was invited to travel to Washington, D.C. to visit soldiers at Walter Reed Hospital. I was a citizen journalist and reported on military blog panels. I traveled to other places as well for the nonprofit Soldiers Angels and met many fine volunteers, military families, and soldiers. Money did not improve my marriage or my life. As my second marriage quickly soured, I was left to wonder what I was doing wrong. By age 35, the year of my arrest, my second marriage was so toxic we no longer shared a bedroom and I'd grown to hate him. That's the year, 2010, at age 35, that I destroyed my family's life, my life. I had a sexual relationship with my oldest son's 15-year-old friend, and in 2011, at age 36, after a year of legal proceedings, I was officially convicted of criminal sexual conduct and sentenced to 12 years in prison. It would be 5 more years before everything changed, and I would never be the same. During my incarceration, Jesus used that time to make me aware of my need for Him as my Lord. He transformed me in ways I didn't know possible. Through my relationship with Him, I began to share my testimony with fellow inmates. Transformation is best displayed with an accurate representation of before, so that one can appreciate the results after. I share my story transparently in the hope it will encourage you to draw close to Jesus in your own walk with Him. Released from prison in 2018, I felt a desire to encourage others using God's work in my life as a tool. I began to write again, this time about my journey through prison and reentry. In 2023, I once again took this work to a blog format. Do you suffer from depression? Is your marriage thriving or sinking? Are you interested in a better relationship with your children, your family, your parents? Are you faced with adversity, struggles, and obstacles at work, at home, in your community? Is anxiety a frequent visitor in your life? Before prison, I did not know that personal transformation existed. I am talking about amazing, shocking, exciting life transformation. Author A.W. Tozer states, "Every follower of Jesus should be a walking miracle, the kind of person who can never be explained." Are you a walking miracle? Do you want to be? God is interested in you, and anything God ever did for anybody, He will do for anybody else. Join me on this journey. I can't wait to see what God has for us next. Get ready for Between the Lines, a candid interview.
Holly, can you walk us through your decision to share your story with the world? What inspired you to be so transparent about your experiences?
Transparency is so important to good mental health and relationships with others. Before my relationship with Jesus, I was very guarded. My family encouraged keeping secrets from others to receive approval. For example, the church I grew up in was very strict and didn't approve of many secular activities such as attending a movie theater. My parents decided it wasn't wrong to do this. However, we children were told, "Don't tell anyone, not even close family, that this is what we do." As I grew older, I developed deep depression and I found it very difficult to ask for help. Instead, I minimized my pain and I put on a brave face. This did not improve my situation. Rather, this intensified my problems. I realize now that these behaviors not only limit one's ability to be helped, but they also restrict how much you can help others.
Throughout your journey, you encountered various challenges and setbacks. How did you find the courage to keep moving forward, especially during the darkest moments?
Yeah, I clearly remember this one incident near the end of my 8 years in prison. At the time, I had chosen to live at the prison's intake unit to encourage new arrivals, and a woman, learning how long I'd been in prison, shook her head and said, "I just don't know how you do it. I don't think I could." The truth is very simple. I had little choice. I'd prefer to have left a long time ago and never come here at all. The doors remained locked, either way. Courage is another matter. Many times during my incarceration, I slipped into deep depression. Ultimately, it was Jesus who provided the solution. He gave me new abilities. He validated me by being responsive to me, and he poured truth into me. Joy is doing life with a strong partner you love and who loves you. That makes things bearable. Jesus introduced himself as that partner to me, and he loved me, and I quickly came to love him.
Your involvement with blogging and volunteer work brought a sense of purpose and fulfillment. How did these activities contribute to your personal growth and healing?
Writing about my own life can be very painful. I relive these moments as I seek to accurately describe them. This work has been really healing for me for the same reason. Now I'm removed from these events by many years, so I can see them from a new perspective, even as I relive them so I can write them. And thinking about these events in new ways has helped me to understand them more accurately.
The legal consequences of your actions were serious. How did you cope with the aftermath of your mistakes, and what advice would you give to others facing similar challenges?
Well, coping in a healthy way has to be learned. When I entered prison, I needed to learn these skills. If I had advice to give on this subject, it would be this. Ask God for help with this. Only God can marry the information learned in scripture or therapy with experiences. And the experiences can reinforce that truth and then help you to internalize the lesson that you learned in therapy or in scripture. Only God can do that.
Your story emphasizes authenticity and vulnerability in sharing one's journey. How do you balance transparency with the need to protect yourself and your loved ones?
This can be tricky. I attempt to show the reader or listener rather than tell. So telling is summarizing. And when you're doing that, you tend to editorialize or, you know, in other words, share your own opinions about the situation instead of letting the reader form their own understanding. Showing gives the readers the details of a scene, including what everyone is seeing, hearing, touching, tasting, smelling, and in my case, what I am thinking and feeling emotionally. This allows the readers to come to their own conclusions. I don't feel a need to protect myself, really. I want to foster understanding. The reader to be able to understand. As for my loved ones, especially my children, I try to foster very open communication with them about content I may release, as well as maintaining an open door policy for discussing feelings about what I'm writing or broadcasting.
Looking to the future, Holly, what are your hopes and aspirations? How do you envision using your experiences to inspire and uplift others?
Yeah, so I see my story helping others in many ways. For people with criminal backgrounds or very difficult circumstances who might relate to that aspect of my story, I think my experiences will give them courage. I know there are many families who love someone who is in prison. They might be feeling many things like worry, and it's possible that they might have given up on their loved one, or they need hope to keep from being discouraged about that loved one. I believe my story can alleviate many worries and give them hope, keep them praying. My story may also motivate someone who doesn't fit either of these situations but has a heart to help people. And I hope my story will encourage them to do just that. I hope listeners ultimately will share my story with anyone who needs to know Jesus loves them.
Look for more episodes that inspire at hollybott.me. Until next time, remember, your story is never over. God's grace is always waiting to rewrite it. This is From Surviving to Living.